St. Marcellus, Pope and Martyr, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, children, on this very cold and sunny Friday, we keep the feast day of a saint who reminds us, as though all of the Christmas decorations would not, that we are still in the beautiful Christmas season. Except he reminds us, too, St. Marcellus does, that not everything about Christmas is Christmassy, that is to say, good cheer and all of the rest, but that a large part of Christmas is suffering. Today's saint was privileged to die in the stable, even as our Lord was born in the stable with cold and unpleasant smells and all of the rest of it. Saint Marcellus became the Pope just at the very end of the persecution. Remember, the Pope is the Bishop of Rome. So there he is in Rome, and there's a tyrant named Maxentius, and he's ruling the Roman Empire. And his predecessor, Saint Marcellinus, had died 3.5 years before, so there was a long sede vacante, or empty seat, before another pope was elected. And he was elected the pope, and he organized Rome to certain parishes or districts where the pagans could go to get their catechism so they could get baptized and have their sins forgiven and become members of the mystical body of Christ. And Maxentius didn't like that. And then the great issue of the day was this. During the persecutions of Diocletian was one of the emperors before Maxentius, quite a few of the Christians, and even some of the clergy, had given way under the persecution or the threat, and they had handed over the sacred book, or put their, as people want us to do today, only we won't. They put their little grain of incense in to worship the false gods of the day. Now the question was, what to do with them? So the Holy Father, in his wisdom and his childlike sanctity, the Holy Father wisely decreed a certain amount of penance that was to be done, but then he said, well, they could come back and go to the sacraments. Well, there was a great trouble in the church, and much to the scandal of the pagans, they sometimes even had riots in the streets. The pagans thought to themselves, for rump, they're supposed to be Christians. Well, look at how they're behaving. That's why we always have to be very careful to mind our P's and Q's and give a good example to others and not have what we call scandal with capital S in the church. Well, some of them said that our Pope, St. Marcellus, was too strict. Another of them said he was too lenient. And so, as I said, they had some riots in the streets, and Maxentius used this as an excuse to punish the Pope and have him arrested. And the punishment that he came up with was suggested to him by one of the devils that he worshipped, surely, because he said, well, they say that their Lord was born in the stable, so put the Pope, who is his vicar on earth, put him into a stable and make him work there. So the Holy Father was sent to the public stables of Rome, which are someplace between, I think, a stable and a zoo, maybe, because they kept different animals there, not just horses and donkeys and oxen, but they also kept deer, and he was in charge of the deer section, one writer says. So he was taking care of the reindeer, only though it wasn't a very Christmassy scene at all. It was very difficult because he was already an older man. And so the clergy of Rome, who were missing their pope, hatched a plot so he could escape. And so the Holy Father escaped from the stable, and he found refuge in the house of a holy woman named Lucina, who was of the Roman nobility and aristocracy, and she had a nice big house with a big atrium, or like an open courtyard, and there they would meet for the Holy Mass, and the Holy Father lived there, and it was sort of an open secret. And when Maxentius found out about that, he sent more soldiers to arrest him a second time, and this time, he said more or less, this time I mean business. And this time, the house where he was staying, the house of Lucina, was made into a stable itself. And it was all filthy and cold and all of the rest. And this was really too much suffering for the Holy Father. And he died. And now we honor him as a martyr. He's the martyr of the stable, Saint Marcellus. A good reminder to us The Christmas isn't just feeling or sentiment, children, that our blessed Lord was born to die, and that if we are going to follow him, we have to be serious about things. Today is also the feast day. Let me tell you about just one other saint or group of saints, of some of the first or proto-martyrs of the Franciscan order, St. Berardus or Berardo and his companions, who were Italian friars, and St. Francis of Assisi, who also gets kind of that sentimental treatment. You know, remember they make St. Francis into the birdbath saint, and he's just a saint of ecology and things like that. Well, St. Francis of Assisi loved our Lord so much, and he wanted to preach Jesus crucified, that he desired to be a martyr. Remember, he went to the Holy Land, but on account of him being so holy and Christ-like, even the Muslim Sultan respected him. Much to his disappointment, he did not chop off his head. So he came back, but he sent his first friars minor, the little brothers, to different parts to see if one of them could get the crown of martyrdom. So five of them went to southern Spain, Seville, that was still ruled by the Muslims back then, and they preached our faith so beautifully that the Sultan said to his son, who was a ruler in Morocco, northern Africa, he said, "There's some Franciscans here, and I'm just about ready to chop off their heads. What do you think?" And his son said, "Well, send them to me. Maybe I can do something with them." Well, his son was mistaken. He couldn't do anything with those Franciscans, and they preached our Lord so bravely, and he started to make converts, which for Muslims is intolerable. So they were very cruelly tortured. They were scourged to the bones, and the bones in their back started to show. And then they poured in vinegar and other stingy stuff right into their open wounds. And then they rolled them around in broken glass. Every possible torture was done to them, but they were firm in their faith. And they were still preaching Christ when they were called before the Sultan, the son of the Sultan, and he was so furious that he took his scimitar or curved sword that they had and chopped their heads in half, one after another. And they all bravely went to heaven. And then their relics were bought and taken to Iberian Peninsula. And they ended up going to the monastery where a young Father Ferdinando was a priest. And he was a member of the Augustinian order. And they were buried there in his monastery of Holy Cross at Coimbra in what's today Portugal. And I mention this because the young Father Ferdinando was so inspired by their story that he asked permission to become a Franciscan too, so he could die as a martyr, and he became St. Anthony of Padua. And instead of dying as a martyr, he lived as a great preacher. And today he's the one who finds the skis and eyeglasses when they get lost and other things. And probably if you gave him a bigger job, he'd be up to it because he's a wonderful saint. So the story of today's saints, children, shows us in a sense how beautifully God's providence always works and the importance of giving a good example, as well as never forgetting that there's a price tag attached to our faith. When we get baptized, there's a price tag, and it's not cheap and it's not for free. We have to pay our price. Sometimes we forget that. So let us ask St. Marcellus and the first martyrs of the Franciscans to give us the grace to love our faith and to be willing to suffer for it, but always in a very nice way, because that's how the lesson of Christmas is. That's how the followers of Francis were. And that's certainly how this good and holy Pope, St. Marcellus, left us the example. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.